Well, coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 5th and the 6th, Carolina Public Humanities is holding a two-day seminar on the global challenge of religious freedom, looking at that issue historically and internationally, as well as domestically in America today. You can register for this event online at humanities.unc.edu and get more information on it. Among the speakers are a couple who will be very familiar to you if you listen. Listen to the Aaron Keck Show back in the 2020 day. Max Orr, who heads up Carolina Public Humanities, and Joanna Smith as well, joining us here in the studio to talk about an event. They'll also be speaking at it this weekend. Max, Joanna, thank you so much for being with us. Happy New Year. How are you?
Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks.
It's still okay to say Happy New Year, right?
I know. Yeah.
We're two and a half months in, but, you know.
This is our first time in this very familiar space for us this year, yeah. For me at least, and so it feels very much like a Happy New Year. It's great to be here with you, Aaron.
Also, time has no meaning anymore.
Of course, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's day after day.
So tell us about the seminar. This is a topic that has been relevant for literally centuries. It's taken on particular meaning today, and if we had the seminar a year from now, it'd be completely different meaning. So it's a subject that's constantly in flux, and you can come at it from a bunch of different angles, and you do in this seminar. So what's it going to entail?
I'm going to let the religious studies scholar start,
Joanna,
with this one.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a challenge that has been around for a long time and is not going anywhere. But we thought this would be a good opportunity to tackle it from a kind of comparative perspective. Mm. So we will be getting Max to give us a kind of long view of religious freedom in a French context. I'll be discussing it in American history, and then we will also be joined by Ariane Akinji from the History Department, who will be kind of honing in on the case study of the Uyghur minority group in China.
Mm. So, Max, you'll be kicking this off by talking about religious freedom in France.
Yeah.
How do you condense that down into a talk?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It provides a great opportunity. I'll go first because I'm going to go the farthest back chronologically. I'm going all the way back to Clovis, you know. but we'll spend most of our time.
Wait. Who's Clovis?
With the first Frankish king, of course.
Okay, good.
No, we'll go back, you know, of good ways, but also talk philosophically about this concept. Certainly my own talk will be centering this in 19th and 20th century France after the French Revolution and the Republican tradition, which is the secular tradition in France. We'll be sort of complicating that. But I also want to sort of set up this main idea that, you know, religious freedom is about a supposed, you know, universal truth coming up against a pluralistic reality. And no matter where you are in world history, this has always been the problem, right? You know what? When religious divine truth becomes opinion, quote unquote, you know, if you're able to hold this opinion, it's your right to hold an opinion that's different from someone else's opinion, it really creates this conundrum that, you know, it's the typical squaring the circle. And I just think this is part certainly of religious traditions all over the world are facing. How do you deal with difference? And back in a certain day, it was dealt with in, you know, very harsh delineated lines. But in a multicultural society, we are really coming up against this.
Yeah, and you can certainly take the kind of pluralistic stand and say, well, we just be respectful of each other's differences. But that in and of itself is taking a very strong and specific stand on this question.
Mm. You know, I think also one of the things we're finding is that, you know, these are obviously hot points, not just, of course, the Uyghur population, which is, a very, very, very dangerous and tragic situation going on in China right now. But, you know, in France and in the United States, we're tackling these issues. France has this separatism thing going on right now, which is Islamo-gauchism, and you can see it's very much a political movement. And I would say similar things in America.
Yeah, and over to America, Joanna Smith will be talking about freedom of, for, and from religion in America. And I love that title because all three of those prepositions are really important, right?
Exactly. They all are. And I think in these different contexts we'll be exploring, we'll see kind of the gas being pushed on some of those and not on others. And it's really hard to find that balance. something that strikes me as particularly interesting about the American context is that at the founding, all three of those were very much present in mm-hmm. conversations about religious freedom. But especially in the last 50 years, we've seen a real shift in the narrative to focus pretty exclusively on freedom of religion, freedom from state intervention, and freedom from kind of the constraints of, as you described, pluralism and pluralistic tolerance.
And I think in the last 20 years, and you've really seen this in just, I mean, even Supreme Court decisions in the 90s versus today, and the way that politicians talked about it in the 90s versus today, there's been this shift in the way that religious freedom is being, that phrase is being used in American politics, and it shifted from a protection of the rights of minority religions and atheists and agnostics and people who are like not part of the dominant Christian, in this case religious tradition, to the freedom of Christians to kind of impose that belief or act on their belief in a way that might be imposing to other people and restrictive of other people. And that's like a big shift in 20 years.
It's a huge shift. I think, you know, Hobby Lobby in 2014 is just such an astonishing flashpoint where we can pause and say, how did we go from a place where the principles of religious freedom, which were designed to protect disempowered dissenters and minority voices, how are those same principles now being used to shelter multi-billion-dollar corporations?
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not enough that you be able to express your beliefs. You should be able to act on them as well. So that's an important balance that needs to be struck, and there's no easy way to do it.
Absolutely, especially given that religious freedoms are always, there's always a trade-off mm-hmm. with other rights and protections. I think the recent ruling on the freedom of religious assembly during coronavirus is such a great example of that, that the courts were literally having to weigh freedom of religious expression versus public safety. Those are both really important goals.
What's the difference between freedom of religion and freedom for religion?
That's a good question.
Because of and from are both in the First Amendment. For is the one that isn't, but it's also important.
Freedom for religion, to me, has a ring of institutional autonomy.
Okay.
And so freedom for religion, I feel like, is very active right now, for example, in the pushback against the Equality Act, mm-hmm. With politicians saying, no, religious educational institutions, religious hospitals, religious nonprofits need to have absolute autonomy to discriminate in the ways that match up with their beliefs.
Yeah. And, I mean, absolute autonomy is problematic, but autonomy is good, so that's another balance that needs to be hashed out.
You know, this issue of autonomy and whatnot, this is sort of the central, you mentioned schools, of course, and this is where this happens, right? This is where, you know, anytime you have a state instituted in a secular way, a state instituted school system, mm-hmm. This is where you have the challenge of, you know, religion often is about, you know, inculcating religious beliefs very early in people's lives, and so it's always a battleground. And, you know, and I think one nice thing about the way we have these three countries, we have three really interesting perspectives on what secular states mean. One of them, and a big, and again, we're going to problematize this and say that's not exactly as clear cut as it sounds, but, you know, people,
that's good, because it doesn't sound clear cut at all. So.
Well, in America, well, this distinction I'm about to say, people will often put this up as sort of a cliche. In America, you know, the idea is freedom for everybody to practice as they want. Freedom, like, this is the of and for business. Everyone should, the state shouldn't get mixed up in anyone else's religious practice. In France, it's exactly switched. It's no religion should enter into the state whatsoever. And this is what we're going to emphasize. And so in the school systems, this is where the state is the school. And that's why the French schools have been the sort of battleground over religious expression, the wearing of the hijab, you know, and of course, supposedly not wearing yarmulkes, and all these are Christian symbols and whatnot, or just keeping them subdued. This has been the battleground. And an interesting, we were talking with our colleague about this, who will be looking at China, is that China is this atheistic, technically government that's atheistic, professes no religion whatsoever. There is a divine truth, if you will, of no religion. And that's going to be an interesting, you know, hoping to learn a lot about how to, like you say, it's fuzzy, hoping to learn how to put this together some, but certainly it's complicated.
humanities.unc.edu for more information. Again, this seminar is coming up this Friday and Saturday, the 5th and the 6th. You can head to the website, get more info, and register there. Speaking with Max Orr and Joanna Smith, and as we wrap up, what else should people know about the seminar?
Well, one thing I'm hoping we can talk about, and this is somewhat from a personal standpoint, is the rapid growth of non-religion and non-belief. And, you know, we haven't really figured out how we're going to, but that'll come up somewhat. And I know that that's somewhat of a personal issue for me. And it's the fastest growing religion, quote unquote, in the world. So that should be an interesting thing to discuss. I'm interested to see what we come up with.
Joanne? Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, this is one that I'm so glad we're able to do it, and I wish we were able to do it in person, because I'm so curious to hear our audience members' questions, personal reflections, personal experiences. And so this is one where I'm really optimistic that the audience can get super involved.
Yeah, we'll miss the Church of the Humanities, which is what we
exactly.
usually have, so...
Again, humanities.unc.edu for more information on that and other events, but it's called the Global Challenge of Religious Freedom, coming this Friday and Saturday, all online. Register online at that website as well. Joanna Smith, Max Orr, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.